B-Pod Studios.
App. These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Brady left foot forward, leans forward for the side. Signaling to Edelman as he takes the snap. Backs up, looking to the end zone. Lobs it toward Edelman in the back corner. Oh. Knocked incomplete. Patriots looking for a flag. Breland on the coverage. And Kansas City takes over on downs.
This crew, that's Jerome Boger and his crew, should be looked at to be docked. And I don't know how you dock them.
That is a good play.
Because they've actually ruined an actually really good football game.
Mahomes in victory formation takes the knee. And the Chiefs are going to improve to 9-4. Well, the Patriots are going to suffer their third loss to front-running AFC teams.
And that's it. That's how it ends. Felger Maz on the Monday after. Maz, how much time should we spend on the officiating?
Well, look, I think it's part of the story. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the officiating wasn't a factor in that game on both sides, because I thought it was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen.
Do you think it was equally as bad for both sides?
Probably a little worse for the Patriots and Kansas City.
A little?
Maybe a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a lot worse.
It was definitely worse.
I mean, you know,
Pats.
those were the major plays that got botched. So it's definitely a part of the story. So here's the way I sort of reconcile it. Again, one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen, and the Patriots absolutely got jobbed on a couple of plays. You know, the two that stand out most to me, obviously, like everyone else, are the Kelce fumble where the whistle was blown and then the Harry touchdown. I mean, those two plays are absolutely positively huge. Now, I sort of put that in one pile. And then on the other side, I would say the Patriots' issues, however, are very real. Those are real, and they've been there all year long. So I don't think we can necessarily just ignore those and pretend they didn't happen and say they played a great game and they should have won. Because they didn't play a great game, and I'm not sure they did deserve to win. But again, you know, it's hard to ignore the officiating on a day like that. They were real big mistakes.
Are you done with the Patriots?
No.
Are they done?
No.
Is that it?
I told you going into the game. Murray, you want to go first?
Nope, keep going.
Okay, I told you going into the game that for me it was a credibility game for the Patriots. And now I think that they are, you know, running uphill. That's sort of how I look at it, and I say they, you know, they took a pretty big hit in that game, losing at home to Kansas City, coming off a loss. So I think from a credibility standpoint, they've taken a major hit, but because of who they are and because of their pedigree, I never count them out. I've learned too many times not to do that. So do I think, you know, if you were saying to me right now, betting, would I bet that they go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl? My answer would be no. Do I rule them out? No. Is that straddling enough of a line for you?
Murray, you rule them out?
Yeah, I did last week. And now, after yesterday, it's okay, you guys. I get it. Last year broke you both. It did for me, too. But it's okay. You can admit what your eyes are telling you. It's over. They might win a playoff game. That's it. I used to work with the Bulldogs, Felger and Mass. Now I have Meek Mike and Toothless Tony. How do you watch that yesterday? And never even mind that they got jobbed. The offense. The offense that without yet another punt block, and credit to the special teams for giving that crap offense a chance, but they needed that again. They need trick plays again. They have a pop gun, toothless offense. They stink. And I'll even admit this as a now been kicked out by Gasper and the other Brady Bobos. I don't have my card anymore. He stinks too. It's okay to admit it. He stinks too. He's part of the problem. They ain't winning crap this year. Maybe a playoff game. That's it. It's over.
Maury wants us to get back in the take saddle, if you will, Maz. He's disappointed us. He thinks we're toothless.
Oh, don't straddle. Get in the saddle.
I'm not straddling.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not straddling.
I am.
I'll tell you what I will concede, Murray. I will concede something, for sure. And that is the offense is not what I thought it would be. I thought they'd figure something out. I really did. And, notice my verb tense. I mean, I guess there's still time because they figured it out late last year. So we're still not at that spot this year where they figured it out last year. But I thought by this point, something would have developed, whether it's their offensive line, their running game, one of their receivers, Brady would have developed something with. Instead, it's
getting worse.
It's the same or it keeps getting worse. And that I did not see, and that I will concede. I thought between the brain power of Dante Scarnecchia and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels that they would not be a prolific offense, but they'd have something. And I couldn't even do, you know, and that could be anything. Short passing game, long passing game, running game, screen game, hurry up game, slow down game. I don't know, something. And they have nothing. What was their game plan yesterday?
No idea.
Did they have a game plan?
Shouldn't it have been run the ball against the 31st ranked defense against the run of the NFL?
Well, so at the beginning, I thought it was. I thought it was. And then I thought, you know, look, they clearly, I mean, early in the game, they took a shot that got them a PI. There was another one earlier that was on Sanu as a defensive hold, right? I don't know if I remember. They might have called PI on that play. But I thought that they would come out and try to establish the run a little bit, and it didn't take them long to give that up. So that's 2 weeks in a row, and I don't understand why. And so, I, you know, to me, they're still searching. I put a lot of this on McDaniels still. I don't see any sort of real creativity there. And when I say creativity, the trick plays are the trick plays. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about stuff like, and it happened late in the game yesterday, so I shouldn't say I don't see any real creativity. When they get the PI on Myers down by the 5-yard line, Edelman was lined up wide right. I said this last week, put Edelman on the outside. If they're going to double Edelman, put him out there with a corner, and the safety's going to have to cheat. Maybe that'll open up the middle of the field. Sure enough, there it was. And look, you know, Myers got interfered with. He might have probably should have caught the ball anyway, but at least it was something different. Now, what else I would do? Put two backs in there at the same time. If James White is seeing a defensive back all the time, then maybe get Burkhead on a linebacker.
Okay, so we can talk about all these particulars, but big picture, Murray, I guess I'm wrong about the offense, or wrong about Brady, or wrong about the coordination, or wrong about something, that they have enough, to be a good offense. So maybe I was wrong about that. Myers sucked yesterday. Myers killed him. So that... You know, you won't hear me talking about... Brady missed some plays yesterday. There's no question about it. But it was more about the receivers. I thought yesterday was more about the receivers than Brady. Where Houston, it was more about Brady than people were giving it credit for. I don't know if Brady was still more to blame there. But, you know, I thought
Brady sucked yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good God, Myers. Catch the ball.
He's terrible. But I could have told you that. I did tell you that last week.
Catch the freaking ball.
I mean, those drops were huge.
The 3rd and 7, that's points. That's 3 points. And the drop in the end zone, that's 4. Okay, because they end up kicking a field goal there, right? So there's an extra 7 points. There's your gap. And the 3rd one that they drew the PI, well, the sticks moved on the PI anyway, so that didn't really impact the scoreboard.
Still catch the ball.
But two of those led directly to points coming off the board. So, you know, I thought that was more of a factor in this game, the receivers letting Brady down, than the game before. Be that as it may, this is not the week to pump up Jacoby Myers, that's for sure. But I don't really think he's the story. Because, in other words, he undrafted guy, I mean, if Jacoby Myers is a guy he's leaning on, why are we looking at Jacoby? You sent a 2nd round pick for Mohamed Sanu. He had one target. He's a 2nd round pick for Mohamed Sanu. He has one target. You spent a 1st round pick on a guy who had 2 snaps. So those are the guys that I look at and I think are more second guess worthy. Jacoby Myers isn't ready or may never be ready. I still like him. I still want them to stick with him. But, you know, he's an undrafted guy. He's not supposed to be there. Mohamed Sanu and Jacoby Myers and N'Keal Harry. That's a 1st and a 2nd round pick there.
Yeah, I'd put more emphasis on Sanu, because I'll say with Harry, okay, look, you know, first year in, Patriots offense, we've seen this before, it's hardly new.
Well, they combined for 2 targets.
You get into a big game like this, and Mohamed Sanu is 1 target?
Okay, so come on, like, to me, that's the...
And if it's the high ankle, then sit him out, and don't even play him. You know what I mean? Because I think that's got to be part of the problem here, so...
I hope. I must hope for his sake. So that's the thing that, you know, yesterday I'll budge on, that the offense hasn't developed like I thought it would, and not that I thought it would be great, but I thought they'd figure something out. And, you know, just like they did last year, running the ball behind an offensive line. That was a little something that they figured out and helped him go. And, well, why can't they do that this year, by the way? Why can't they do the same? Because it's still the same running back. It's still the same offensive line. It's still the same, not exactly the same offensive line, but, you know, damn near. Same offensive line coach, same coordinator, same head coach.
They're on their 3rd string center, and the 2 guys that you could rely on the right side of that line last year, in Cannon and in Shaq Mason, have been complete garbage this season.
Right. So those guys have gone backwards. So, I disagree with you that it's the same line.
You're right. I'm wrong. I, I've, I've, I neglected the center, which I shouldn't. It's a huge thing.
I mean, you
as
know,
it turns out, losing. I'm sorry, Maz. Losing Andrews is maybe one, losing Andrews is probably the biggest thing for this team in this season. He was so he's been steady Eddie up front. They were able to run in the Super Bowl. That's how Michelle gets that touchdown. When you rag on Sony Michelle, people want to show you that gif and throw it down your or shove it down your throat. Oh, see, this is what he's able to do in the Super Bowl. Yeah, because he ran behind David Andrews, who could block into the second level of the defense. Losing him absolutely killed that line.
Yeah, massive. Again, and then no Trent Brown, no Gronk. I mean, that's three. And then no fullback, if you want to go there, too. I mean, I don't really put that on the list as much. But even so, that's three or four blockers. That's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, that's half of your crew, right, that's gone. So, I, you know, but still, even so, they should be able to run it better than they are. Like, so that's the part I find frustrating is they give that up fast. Boy, did they give that up fast.
And part of that is, can you pick a running back and maybe stick with it for a series or two or three? But it's, oh, no, Michelle got stopped in the backfield once, so let's go away from him. Let's go to Burkhead. Burkhead kind of got tripped up here, so let's try it with Brandon Bolden. Pick a guy. Maybe some continuity there. How about James White? I know Bedard's been saying it. He said in the postgame, he said it with you guys last week. How about just go with James White as your bell cow back and see what happens? Just it's too much of a shell game going on with the running backs, and that's part, I think, of McDaniels being terrified of the offensive line. He doesn't trust it, and he doesn't trust any of these running backs either.
Now, just quickly, I will add, I thought Michelle was wussy-footing it
yesterday. Wussy-footing! Thank you, wussy-footing!
I saw that early and said, all right, forget it. Get him on, leave Burkhead, and that's basically what they did.
There was one drive where he got the left edge, and he had room to break it down the sidelines, either break a tackle or show some speed or do something. And I felt like he ran right into the linebacker.
He doesn't run hard. There are times he doesn't run hard.
And I don't know if that might have been his last carry. I'm not even sure. But boy, there was a couple he was caught behind the line. Weren't his fault. It was the offensive line. But there was one where he broke out the left side, and there was room out there, and he just ran right into the tackler and went straight down.
And he almost stops before he gets there.
Ugh.
It's like he's a sitting duck. So when I saw Burkhead in the next series, I said, well, that's it. Then we're not going to see him for a while. And Burkhead, I think on his first carry, I want to say picked up 3 yards, but at least he ran hard.
Okay, so Murray, will I write off the offense and concede on the offense? I'm getting there. Okay, there's take movement there. I'm not Maz. I'm not like blind to the facts and obstinate. And so you'll get movement on me there.
What are you talking about?
The team, no. Because I'll tell you why. If I've lost faith in the Patriots offense, I haven't gained any faith in the field. Kansas City should have won that game yesterday, 40-13 going away. And they played right into your hands, and they couldn't put you away. And you can't score a touchdown to save your life, and you're one play, one bad call away from forcing overtime. And if Kansas City can't win that game easily, they're not going to win any game easily against you. Okay, so there's always going to be some opponent that's going to send their equipment to Newark. Okay, so I have no faith in the field. And I said that in our email chain. Like, there's always going to be some clueless, ridiculous, not ready for primetime coach or organization that's going to be better than you on the field. Their roster is going to be better. You're going to look at that team and say they're better than the Patriots. And there may be a bunch of those teams this year. But they're going to screw up the clock. They're going to screw up their timeouts. They're going to have some sort of ill-conceived game plan that they can't adjust out of. Or they're going to send their helmets and shoulder pads to Newark and not Foxborough. And so that's why, to me, it's not over. You're still going to have a bye week. You're still going to have 2 weeks to prepare for a divisional game.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I am. Buffalo's not going to come in here and win. That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. And I still think we're in the middle of this thing where something always happens to the opponent. Someone's going to tear an Achilles. Someone's going to pop a knee. Someone's going to separate a shoulder. And what you see now is not what you're going to get. And so I still have no faith in the field. The Super Bowl, let's get back to me there. But I have not given up on them going there. I have not. Not by a long shot. Okay? And so there are opening thoughts. You can bitch about the refs if you want. We'll let you do it today. They were that bad. And it impacted the scoreboard that much. That we'll let you do it. Okay? Jimmy, you may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. See you right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The kill Harry's in the game.
Harry in short motion. Brady takes the snap. Play fake to Burkett. Throws it left for Harry. Makes the catch. Tries to get outside. Slips and hit to the 10. Harry to the 5. Barrels over a defender. Diving to the pylon! No signal yet. Patriots waiting to celebrate.
Hold on here.
Diving to the pylon, launching. The left foot was close to the sideline, but he was inbounds when he launched. They're saying, however, that...
That's one hell of an effort.
Check that. Now the Patriots
He's
are going to go...
What an effort.
The officials now are going to say he was out at the 3.
No, he never stepped out.
But he did not step out of bounds.
This crew's lost. You got host at home on probably your most critical drive of the year.
And here comes
an absolute hose job by the referees of the National Football League who can't seem to get out of their own way in one of the biggest games of the year. How does this guy get assigned it? He should have never been assigned it with his crew this game.
So the officiating was bad. It was a factor in the outcome. And I think that's what made yesterday different. Because I think Maz, 9 times out of 10, even if there's a bad call one way or the other, it doesn't really impact the outcome.
No, it's rare, yeah.
The team that should win usually wins despite the refs. And then there's that 1 out of 10 where the refs actually impact the scoreboard. And that was the case yesterday. Okay, but there's one yeah but. And I've seen this a lot. It's almost in every headline. Refs cost Patriots 2 touchdowns in loss. I think that was a headline on either NBC Sports Boston or the Globe. Refs cost Patriots 2 touchdowns.
No, it cost them 4 points.
Right. So the way it reads is like it cost you 14 points. It's not. So the 2 touchdowns are the Stephon Gilmore scoop and score off the Kelce fumble, which they should have let go. And then that play you just heard, the N'Keal Harry little catch and run. Well, that came on the same sequence. Okay, so if they had allowed the Stephon Gilmore scoop and score, you're kicking off to Kansas City and they have the ball. And N'Keal Harry is not getting the ball down there to score. So it's not that all came on the same.
Correct.
So that all came in the same sequence. So did the challenge spot and the missed. So that all happened in one thing. So what it cost you was 4 points, because in that whole sequence, you ended up getting 3 instead of 7. So it cost you 4, which, oh, by the way, is huge. Because then on that last drive, you can kick a field goal to send it to overtime.
Absolutely.
So I'm telling you, like, the 4 points, it was only 4 points. That's a massive difference, especially for this Patriots offense. Being able to kick there from the 7-yard line or whatever it was versus throwing it, huge. But it was 4, not 14, and it did cost you time. And it cost you time. Because if they had allowed the Stephon Gilmore scoop and score like they should have, that whole next, whatever that took, 5, 7 minutes, is still on the clock. And I guess that cuts both ways. Maybe that's a good or a bad thing, but it costs time and 4 points, not 14. That's the only thing I would say on that. Do you have a thought?
No, no question. I mean, again, there's absolutely no debating that. When I was in the stadium yesterday, when I saw that Jerome Bogard was on the field, I went, oh, boy.
Dang it.
Oh, boy. Like, I don't know how that guy still has a job. He's awful.
So let me tell you one of the worst things they did, and I don't know if anyone's really talking about this. The Patriots only had one timeout at the end to kill the clock on Kansas City's last possession. They lost a timeout because after the Jacoby Myers drop in the end zone, they had to burn one. But they had to burn one because, if you remember, when Jacoby Myers first caught the ball, we thought, the ref there in the front corner gives the touchdown sign. So the wing judge there called it a touchdown, which means the Minutemen fire the guns, the extra point team starts to run onto the field, the offense starts to run off, and then they overruled them, and they never reset the play clock. So Brady ran out of time before the next snap and had to call timeout. That's brutal. You've got to pump the clock back up. You've got to give the play time, and you've got to the ref on the field made the wrong call. Okay, which is fine. He didn't have the right angle, but so they overruled him on the field. They got the call right, but once you call timeout, and the extra point team starts to run on the field, you got to reset the game, the play clock. And they never did, and Brady had to burn a timeout. That was a hidden little thing there that I thought the refs screwed up and cost the Patriots.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff in that game, really, again. And, there was some on the other side, too. It's as badly officiated a game as I've ever seen. There were so many. First of all, how many flags got picked up?
Unbelievable.
Right? How many got picked up? There was no foul on the play. Well, then what the hell did you throw the flag for? And then you have them calling things that didn't happen. Like Harry stepping out of bounds never happened.
It was a staggeringly bad day. Your reaction, as promised. Mary in Manchester, thanks for showing up last week to Christmas in the City. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Mike. My question is, when Gilmore picked up the fumble, why didn't he keep running into the end zone even after the whistle blew? I mean, I would think that's something that Belichick would have coached up to the team. Like, if they review it afterwards and it turns out to be, that it was a fumble, then they would have had the touchdown there. So why didn't they coach him up?
No, that's not it, Mary. So they, and thanks for the call, and thanks again for last week.
Once the whistle blows, it's over.
Okay, but they will give you the fumble recovery.
They give you the clear recovery. They don't give you the run back.
So you can't run it back. So if there was no whistle and the players stopped, if the players stopped because they thought the play was dead, but there was no whistle, then you keep running.
Absolutely.
And then that would count. But once they blow the whistle, they don't allow the return. But they will give you, they will go back in time and give you the recovery.
Yeah, when I saw him pull up, I had heard the whistles by then. So I just said, well, they're not going to get the touchdown out of this.
And how many times have they gone over this? If it's in doubt, let it go and then replay will fix it.
On both plays, Mike. On both. On the fumble and on the N'Keal Harry play. Call it a touchdown and then automatically it's reviewed. Call it a fumble, and then automatically it's reviewed.
How many times do you go over that?
These jackasses did it ass backwards, not once, but twice.
It's unbelievable.
Twice. I mean, those to me are like inexcusable mistakes.
Justin and Worcester, your thoughts on the Pats?
Yeah, hi. I was wondering how Bill Belichick isn't getting more blame for all the Patriots' woes. If you see last night when it was third down and they got the first down and he challenged it, if he didn't waste that challenge, they would have been able to use that on the N'Keal Harry.
But I agree.
Okay, Justin, thanks for that that thought, Maz. You're obviously in agreement.
I agree. At the time, I thought, I can't believe Belichick's challenging this. Now, look, I had no idea. There was no way to know what was coming. But I thought, when you challenge the spot, you better get it right. It's got to be so obvious that there's no gray area because those are hard to challenge. And then they announced in the stadium, too, when Bogar's mic cut in and out, that they were also challenging the interference.
Well, they look at it automatically.
Okay, because Kelsey stuck his ass out.
Yeah.
And, there was a little bit of a pick play there. But even then, it wasn't bad enough, based on what we've seen over the course of the year.
He challenged the spot.
Okay. And I thought, mistake. That's a bad challenge.
So this whole bad refereeing, I just can't help but go back to replay, because my obsession with replay. And when they make me commissioner of sports, it's so simple. It's so simple, and I'll fix this problem in a second. If you sports people, need replay, if you need it, because whether you're young and you grew up with it and you can't imagine a world without it, or you just think we have the technology to get it right, so let's get it right. So if you demand it, it's so simple. Make me or clone me and make me the sky judge. And then it's simple. It's so simple. That N'Keal Harry play, I take one look at it. He didn't step out of bounds. Touchdown. Let's go. You're not allowed to challenge anything. I'm not going to let you challenge a spot in the middle of the field where we don't have the right camera angle. You're not allowed to challenge Travis Kelce sticking his ass out. Sorry, we're not going to challenge that. That's a bang-bang play on the field. We're going to live with what's called on the field, and we're going to set the ball, and we're going to call the next play. My sky judge in the NBA, that James Harden dunk, it went through the basket. Side out. Let's go.
Oh, should move.
You're
absolutely.
I'm not going to let the ref come over to the table to put the cans on, the headset on, and look at clear path, flagrant one, flagrant two. We're not going to do that.
Common sense for crucial play.
We're not going to do that. I'm just going to have a guy at the TV to see that the ball obviously went through the basket, and N'Keal Harry obviously didn't step out, and we're just going to radio the guy with the earpiece in his ear. He's going to set the ball, and we're going to go on.
Okay,
you are not allowed to challenge clear path, flagrant two, offensive pass interference, the spot of the ball, a bang-bang play. It's up to me upstairs. The obvious things, the puck went through the side of the net. I saw it on the first replay. That wasn't a goal for Carolina. Face off, let's go, that's it, that's replay.
Okay, but given what the rule is, I don't like it either, but given what it is, Belichick made a mistake. It was a mistake.
I thought that was a bad spot. I thought he had a chance on that.
Okay, but again, they spotted the ball initially at like the 40, right? The first down was at the 39. So he had to get inside the 39 with the review to get it, to get the call. Okay, so I just thought it was aggressive. If it had happened the other way around, if Andy Reid had done it and then didn't have a challenge at the end of the game when his guy didn't step out of bounds, yeah, we would kick the crap true. Out of Andy Reid.
It's true.
Belichick screwed that one up. Now, again, I get why, because, you know, they were having a hard time and he was looking for anything he could get. I get it. But to me, that spot, when you challenge that spot, ooh, it better be so apparent that there's no gray area.
I have two bigger second guesses of Belichick. We'll get to those and your thoughts after Murray's update. We have some sad breaking news in the world of Boston sports. Murray's going to give it to you right here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mez.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Play fake by Brady. Comes back left. Throws the back shoulder for Myers. Goes down. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
Rookies. Oh, what a play.
The Chiefs are saying the ball short opted. And now the officials are going to agree.
The umpire
they're going to overrule.
It's an incomplete.
And it's incomplete.
Third down.
Myers against Ward.
Oh, looks like he got it here.
And from the first look we have.
Boom.
Looks like
hands
he made the
it.
Catch.
That's
hands
a touchdown.
That is two apparent touchdowns by the Patriot rookies. Harry first, then Dorsett, and neither will stand.
This crew ain't getting a playoff game or a Super Bowl. You can know that. No chance of this crew getting any good marks.
And
sorry, Stu. That was the Myers drop. Do we have the right play? Did Zoe say that was a bad call?
Well, initially he thought it was a touchdown, yeah. He did. I was behind it because, I remember, that happened after N'Keal Harry. So he's all crazed lathered up. Yeah. I was standing behind him at the time. And yeah. I, too, like, the way that they initially showed it, I was like, they're not going to call that a touchdown? Are you kidding me? And then they replayed it and saw a different angle. And so, oh, of course, old Stonehands dropped the damn thing.
So Zoe didn't just see the replay?
No.
That's fine.
No.
So the replay was a little slow on that one. In real time, it looked like a touchdown to me.
Well, so look, this is where the refs porked him. They got the call right. He dropped it, which is a whole other story unto itself, which I'll get to in a second. But the refs porked him because the wing judge, the side judge, called touchdown. Hands in the air. And the field goal team runs on, and the Minutemen fire their guns, and the offense starts to come off, and the offensive coordinator and McDaniels and the play callers upstairs, they take their headsets off, and then the next thing you know, it's no, they overruled it, and they never reset the play clock. And so it's like, you got to give the offense a chance to get back on the field because you corrected your own call. And they never did, and Brady had to burn his second timeout. So that's where you got porked, but that wasn't a porking. That's on Jacoby Myers.
Boy, he had a tough day.
And this is a week that I will not be going back and looking at, oh, Jacoby Myers was open here, Jacoby Myers was open there, and I'm sure he was. In fact, you said on the very last play of the game,
correct,
that Edelman, flare pass, a little out to Edelman that was deflected, that Jacoby Myers was wide open over the middle of the field.
Right, just beyond the first down stripe.
I'm not going to blame Brady for ignoring him.
Me either.
I
can't trust you.
Not in this game. He didn't earn his trust in this game.
But that's really what it came down to. And again, I saw it this morning on Get Up. Orlovsky did a pretty good assessment of it, where he went over all the drops by Myers. And he included the one on the PI because, again, he could have very easily caught that ball. It was his arm, he got arm-barred, but whatever. And then said, now you get to the biggest spot in the game. Where's Brady going? Because Brady, at that stage, Brady's saying, you know, game's on the line. You think I'm coming back to you? No shot.
Brady went to the right spot. I mean, even if Myers was wide open, Edelman one-on-one with the flat open. Those two just didn't execute it. And Spagnuolo dialed up a blitz, so I'm not telling you it was like it was easy. It was a layup or some sort of can of corn. But you had Edelman one-on-one. You had the flat wide open. And Brady and Edelman just didn't execute it. In a high degree of difficulty, they were bringing the house.
Yeah.
But that's the right place. He went to the right place with the ball. I thought Brady should have thrown the ball that he threw to Myers to Edelman. In other words,
down and away.
Down and away, low, hard and away.
He floated it a little.
He floated it. Yeah, but then again, he's got traffic at his feet, and
he was backpedaling.
Could he even step into it? I don't know. But that's not the wrong place to go with the ball.
So, no, if the ball's a little bit more to the outside even, Edelman gets it and the defender doesn't.
Yes.
And the other element in that play that comes in is that Edelman's not very big, right? So Breland just reached right over his shoulder and batted it down. If you have a bigger target down there, and this is what you talk about, Gronk or Harry, someone in the red zone who can box the defender out.
So here's the issue, too. It's like, so you do have some big bodies. You sent a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. You used a first-round pick on N'Keal Harry. I understand N'Keal Harry doesn't get the playbook, and they hate him like poison. Okay, they must, because he got two snaps, and that was before the hip. I don't want to hear the thing that he had a hip. He wasn't in the game, hardly. He had two snaps, and they were in the second half. I don't know when the first one was, but he had two snaps. So they despise him. I'm saying that kind of for effect, but they have no faith in him. Those are the second guess. Jacoby Myers isn't ready, or it will never be ready, or whatever. I still like him, but you know, we'll see. He's an undrafted guy. And Edelman is a little fella. You're in the red zone, and Sanu and Harry are nowhere in your plans, nowhere in your vision.
Blows me away.
That's the second guess.
Yeah, I don't get it. And again,
I'm sorry, by the way, that's a personnel second guess. That's, you know, did you draft the wrong guy? Did you trade for the wrong guy? Because if you watch the 1 o'clock game, if you watch that fabulous Niners Saints game, that was just, what a fun game that was.
Debo Samuel.
Did you pass on Debo Samuel? Was he after N'Keal Harry?
That's another guy that went after him.
Okay, so I look at Manny Sanders, though.
Oh, yeah.
Emmanuel, I mean, just a dynamic, quick playmaker who's scored on a deep ball, catches balls underneath, goes over the middle, goes to the sidelines. There's nothing the guy doesn't do. He threw for a touchdown. Manny Sanders can do it all, and he's a playmaker. Why did you take Mohamed Sanu over Manuel Sanders?
Great question.
The contract. Because he's under contract. I'm convinced of it. That game was littered with coulda, shoulda, wouldas. Him, Jared Cook before he got knocked out.
Oh, my God, Jared Cook. Ay, ay, ay.
Samuel, who went after Harry, that was aggravating. That really was. That was great game to watch, but that pissed me off.
And you're sort of leaving out the biggest one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, well, that's a quarterback you could have had there, but that's another story. We'll do that another day.
Tomorrow.
We'll do that another day.
Man has to shine up the helmet.
No, but there's
both this, of them.
So Myers, good God, dude. Catch the freaking ball. That's on Myers. But I think it's telling that he's the guy that you're going to versus the guy that you drafted in the first and then the other guy that you traded a second round pick.
So the Sanu target was in the first half, right?
It was, yes.
He didn't get targeted. Well, so, was he even on the field in the second half?
So the PI wasn't an official target. So right. He had one catch for 13 yards over the middle.
Right, and he got drilled on it.
And that was it.
But that was in the first half.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so this is what I'm saying. How does he not get targeted in the second half of the game?
So there's your second guessing. I promise, back to your phones right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Brady on the five-step drop. Quick throw out to the right for Lacoste. Intercepted. Intercepted by Breland, who runs it back right across the 35, stumbling and tripped up by James White. The pass was underthrown. Lacoste got behind the defensive back, and the Chiefs take over after the theft.
It's the outside guy that was on Edelman. Undercut. See, I saw what Brady saw. Lacoste pops open on the inside vertical. The outside defender falls off. That's a hell of a play by him. Brady put so much air on this that allowed him to undercut it. The ball's still underthrown. Still underthrown. So you get the perfect storm here.
All right, who do we blame on that interception?
Brady.
Yeah, Brady.
I blame Brady. Again, I think he gets sucked into it. I think that, you know, I was reading around him on this morning, and I know that one of the theories is that Breland made a mistake. That was Breland on that play, wasn't it? He got beaten by Edelman.
Yeah, and sort of.
And then just kind of, because of that, got peeled off.
Lucked into it.
Right. Not true. There was a comment by him after the game where he said, no, we did the same thing last week. We make it look that it was actually his own D. I wasn't on Edelman. You know, we disguised the look. And so now, I don't know, maybe he's lying to cover his ass. I wouldn't rule that out. But I think Brady gets sucked into it. Now, again, I can understand why. I mean, they did. They duped him. So it was good defense. But, you know, I don't know. If you're going to be a guy that says you have the answers all the time, then... Maybe you don't have the answers. Like, I, you know, I'm not trying to be a wise ass about it, but he threw it right to him.
How'd you feel about Brady overall?
So the thing that I didn't like about Brady yesterday, there were some bad throws in there and some bad decisions. You know, nothing horrendous. I didn't think he was god-awful or anything. I just didn't see a ton on the ball yesterday. There were a few throws that I looked at and went, whoa, what the hell happened there? There was one early in the game, third down to Burkhead out in the flat. This is the second series of the game, maybe. The ball fell 5 yards short of him. I mean, and I thought it must have gotten tipped at the line. I went back and watched the replay of it. It didn't get there.
No, not a lot of zip on the ball. And no, it's got to be the elbow. It's got
to
be.
Yeah, and then the flea flicker. That was a little underthrown. You know, the ball to Myers that they got the penalty on was just kind of lofted down the field. And, you know, I'm not telling you it was a horrible throw, but it didn't have, there wasn't a lot on. It was a lot of air under that ball. Like, it just didn't, I don't think that there was as much velocity on the ball as usual.
Murray in the email says, Brady is broken and old. It's okay to admit it, people. So, yeah, he sucks too. Nice velocity on those balls in the first half. How many were falling short? You think he's broken and old, Murray?
Yeah, that's what it's looked like the last couple of weeks. And that's not just me saying that. You know, Rodney Harrison, former teammate, former Patriot, said that.
He and Brady have a thing. I'm convinced of it now.
So he's just trying to needle him? He's just
maybe
trying to bust his balls?
Well, no, no, no.
Or he's just going with what his eyes tell him?
Look, I love Rodney's commentary. Go. I didn't hear it. What did he say?
I mean, essentially that he doesn't look like the same player. I mean, verbatim is what he said, and he doesn't. He doesn't even look like he would have looked like last year in these last couple of weeks. So I'll chalk it up right now, not so much the age, the elbow, because he comes out and he does the post-game press conference, and he's got a big ice pack on the damn thing when he's wearing the long-sleeve shirt. These last couple of weeks when he's been on the injury report with it, I've thought like, who really knows? Maybe they're just joshing around. Clearly they're not, because there was not much velocity on the ball early.
I mean, he did. He banged it on a face mask early. He did. He banged it on a face mask, and it was, he immediately grabbed it. And so there's something going on there. I don't know if it's major or minor or what, but there were, if you go back and look, there were, you know, half dozen throws maybe that you look at and go, where's the velocity on that?
So maybe in that game last night, I still think if there's any problems, quote unquote, in his game, I think it still starts with sort of field vision and where he's going with the ball and decision-making, or bailing early on plays, like things of that. Like, I think when he has time and an open guy and he sets his feet and is structurally sound, it's the same guy, okay? So, and last night, I think if Jacoby Myers just hangs on to the damn ball, it's a different story.
I mean, it did look like Brady was backing up a lot yesterday when he was throwing. The Chiefs overall got pretty good pressure on him.
Okay, back to your phones, as promised here. Let's go with Adrian in Johnston. Go ahead, Adrian.
Hey, guys, you guys mentioned it earlier, but Bill Belichick as a GM is just terrible. On defensive end, he knows what he's doing, but on offense, the second-round pick for Sanu, not getting Sanders, then Sony Michel, sucks and blows. Like, he needs to do something with that offense.
Okay, a lot of swings and misses. I don't think he intentionally left Brady high and dry, but he ended up leaving him high and dry. That's the wrong way. I still don't think Michel is anything, and I think, where's that late season push that you got from him last year? Nowhere. He ran soft last night.
He really did.
And they pulled him right out because of it. So Michelle's just a guy. Did they draft the wrong receiver in the first round? Did they send the second round pick for the wrong receiver? Manny Sanders went for a third and a fourth, right? Wasn't Sanu even pricier?
Correct. Yeah.
Like, you could have spent less on Manny. So did they send the draft picks for the wrong guy at the trade deadline? You know, those are questions worth asking.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, the Sanders thing, the contract was bigger, so maybe that factored in too because they didn't want to take the contract on or whatever. Like, I, you know, to me, you look at all of those and you go, holy crap, think of the guys they could have had in here.
Tom and Newton. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. It was good to see all of you at Christmas in the City on Saturday. It was
likewise.
Great.
Thanks for coming by, Tom.
The game last night goes, I mean, normally after a Chiefs game, you know, we're talking about Andy Reid's poor decision-making, and I know, you know, the Chiefs had problems putting them away. But last night, you got to, you know, ask some questions about Bill. I mean, I know there's obviously the challenge that they didn't get. But the thing I wanted to ask about was the decision at the end of the game not to use the timeout. I mean, if the Patriots were going to score that game-tying touchdown, it wasn't going to be because they had a big red zone target or because they had great receivers. It was going to be because of a great play call. Like, if they didn't get it, then there's no point in having the timeout because there's only a minute left. Like, that was the time to use it and come up with a good play because that was the game right there. What do you guys think?
Okay, thanks, Tom. Do you think they rushed that last play? I think they had the right play. I think Brady saw the blitz. He audibled to, he and Edelman gave each other a little hand signal.
He did. He checked into the play.
So you got Edelman one-on-one. Who was in coverage? Was it a safety? I want to go back and look who.
I think it was Breland.
Well, so it was Breland. Right. Well, anyway, I'll still take Edelman one-on-one with the flat open. And Brady had enough time to get it out to him. So the flat was open. It was Edelman one-on-one. And Brady saw it before the pre-snap. I mean, I don't think that was the wrong play. I didn't like the play a couple plays earlier where they threw to Lacoste in the back of the end zone on second and 12. Like, that's low percentage. I'm not into that. And then the play that should be looked at more, and thank God Maz mentioned it in our email this morning, went back and looked at it, was the third and 12 to Edelman underneath on the play before. What did you see there?
Brady threw the ball low. Edelman had to go down and get it, and as a result, he get tackled short of the first down marker. If the throw is better, I think Edelman walks in. And if he doesn't walk in, he at a minimum picks up the first. But he's in stride. He runs an in cut, and Brady throws it, and the ball's low. It's down by his knee.
Go back and look at it, people. Honestly, it's staggering. The Honey Badger laid way off. So Matthew was in coverage. So you got Edelman on a safety, first of all. Good one, but Edelman on a safety. And it was a little in cut, more like a slant or a post, a little skinny post.
Yeah.
And Edelman had the inside. Matthew laid too far off. And if Brady put that in stride a little higher, it's 6 points.
I think so, too.
Go back and watch it. The Chiefs gave you too much room there, and it was low, and Edelman wanted to secure the catch. He went down to go get it and got no yards after the catch. So, to me, that's even a bigger second guess than the final play, which was there. The play before was there for six, and they didn't execute it.
Because it became a fourth and three, and at a minimum, it would have been a first and goal at the two or a touchdown. And in all probability, it's a touchdown.
I think he walks in. When I went back and looked at it, it was, they gave him way too much room.
I never like to assume anything, right? So I sort of, but to me, it's a touchdown. He gets the touchdown. Like and the ball was low, so Edelman had to get on and get it, and as a result, he couldn't run with it after he caught it. But if the throw's better, it's six.
Go back and watch it. We're not making it up. Go back and watch it. That could have been six. Could have easily been six. All right, a lot to sink your teeth into with this ball game. There were various points in it where I thought they were winning, or they were going to win, or they were going to pull it out. I thought they were going to pull this sucker out. I'll give you the exact point where I thought they were going to pull this game out. After Murray's 90-second update, there are no commercials, so there's no need to leave your radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.